want to speak with you this morning about the politics of the kingdom of heaven. We're in an election cycle, blessed to live in a country where we have a mostly peaceful revolution every 4 years, for better or for worse. Inevitably, people are disappointed. But one thing that we note when we take a look at the teachings of the Lord Jesus, right from the very end of his ministry, he says, "My kingdom," the kingdom that he talked about right from the beginning of his ministry, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight for me." And of course, his followers did not fight for him. He was crucified. He died. And he goes on to say even more than that. But before we get to that, I want to remind us, as we've just heard from the gospel, of the core of our Lord's teachings. The reading today is from Luke's version of the Sermon on the Mount, which I think is actually on the plane in this case. And he says, he's just given the Beatitudes. He's talked about how people spoke well of the false prophets. "But I say to you who hear," Luke chapter 6, verse 27, "I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise." Which brings us to the beginning of the section we just heard. Love your enemies. If you think about it, like try and think about what that means in practical terms. How does this work as a political platform? How are we going to implement this in our social policy? How are we going to formulate laws and mandate something like love your enemies? You can't. It doesn't work. In fact, in the world's terms, this is ultimate folly. Why would you love your enemies? They're the ones who are out to get you. They're the ones who are making your life miserable. You know, love your friends, sure, but love your enemies? This makes no sense. This just means that my enemy, as I love him, is going to be able to take more advantage of me, to exploit me more. My kingdom, our Lord says, is not of this world. And it isn't. This is not a political program. This is more revolutionary than that. One of the things One of my favorite podcasts right now is a podcast called Revolutions. And the author is going through all sorts of different revolutions. And we see what happens with revolutionary politics. As you kind of go through, it's kind of more or less the same thing over and over and over again. You have people who are oppressed, who are downtrodden, who are being exploited, who are taking advantage of. And finally they snap. They can't take any more of it. They all unite and they throw off their chains and there's blood and violence in the streets and people are hurt and wounded and killed, and eventually the government is overthrown and a new government is in place, and it has maybe not exactly the same problems as the previous government, but it's got lots of its own problems and its own injustices and its own agenda, which is itself flawed and broken because we're flawed and broken. You see, Jesus didn't come to just do another revolution. Jesus didn't teach his followers to do this. He taught them to do something more radical, more revolutionary, more life-changing, more world-rebuilding. He taught us to love our enemies. And he didn't say it would be easy. In fact, he kind of says pretty much the opposite. He warns his disciples, you know, if they did this to me, they're going to do even worse to you. But he didn't say, therefore, you know, don't follow this program. He didn't say, you know, well, it's just going to be too hard, so you should just give up and not even bother. You know, it was a great idea, but no, we're just not going to do it. No. He says, if you want to be my disciple, take up your cross and follow me. Taking up your cross means you're going to die. I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good. I wanted to pick up at, just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. So this is the golden rule. This is the core of our Lord's teachings. It's not new. Or at least, you know, some versions of this go further back. You can get Confucius, for example, who says very wisely and sagely, don't do to others what you don't want them to do to you. There's a difference there, actually. And I think the difference is important, is illustrative. Don't do to others as you don't want them to do to you. You can work that into a nice political program. You know, that's kind of a lot of our basic understanding of ethics and morality work in our society. As long as you're not hurting anybody else, you can do whatever you like. You're not doing something to them that they don't want you to do. So, you know, you're okay. But Jesus, again, is taking it way, way farther. He says, whatever you want people to do to you, that's what you have to do to them. This takes creativity, imagination, understanding, empathy, love. Because in order for us to know what I should be doing to that other person, because I want to do to them what I would like them to do to me, I have to think about who they are, what they want, what they're struggling with, what their pain is, what they need, how I can help them. This goes far beyond the sort of don't touch, don't help. No, this is meddling. This is exactly what God does all the time. We don't have this hands-off Newtonian clockwork universe God. We have a God who is intimately involved with every aspect of his creation. And that's ultimately where this is all founded on. Because as we skip down to the end of the passage that we heard, where Jesus again says, love your enemies, do good, and lend. Notice the practicality here. It's not just, oh yes, I feel love for you. No, he also says, do good and lend. Put your money where your mouth is. Expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and the evil. This is the foundation of this whole approach to life. That the universe itself, that world that seems to be corrupted and chaotic and kind of crazy, and people are hurting one another and all sorts of bad things are happening. But the foundation of that universe that brought it into existence and that maintains it in existence, that allows even for all this pain and grief and suffering and hurt to go on, is the love of God. The mercy of God. What is it that allows us to continue in existence? That allows us the freedom of will to hurt, to kill, to destroy, and to love, to help, to lift up, to reach out. It's the love of God. God is always at work, maintaining this universe in existence, allowing us to continue, waiting for us, hoping for us, that we will learn to be his children, that we will finally learn to love, that the kingdom of God will ultimately be realized amongst us. And it will. Let there be no doubt of that. The Christian understanding is clear. God will ultimately judge. He will judge the entirety of the human race. And the one who will judge it is the one whom we crucified and who loves us. But he doesn't tell us to wait until then, when something like loving your enemies might actually be possible without suffering, without injustice, without them exploiting and taking advantage of you. He doesn't tell us, hang on, just wait, eventually you'll be able to do this. No, he says, do this now. No matter what the cost. Even if it kills you, love. Because all of the other systems, they have all sorts of different bases, but their bases are much more limited. I mean, it might be, some political platforms are based on kind of power, whether that be military power or social power. Now, others are based on economics. Or actually, most of them are probably based on a combination of power and economics. This one isn't. Because this is the ultimate kingdom that we are called to work to enact right here, right now, the kingdom of heaven, the one we are waiting for. And so all of these equations of power and economics, they're irrelevant, at least in terms of what we are called to do. How is this going to most efficiently serve the greatest number of people? Who cares? Your job is to love. Your job is to love whomever God brings you into contact with, to the best of your ability, with all the gifts and talents that He has given you. That is what you were made to do. And as you do that, you will fulfill your purpose in this universe. And you will be enacting the kingship of our Lord, the kingdom of heaven. As we live in obedience to His teachings, it is here, it is now. Even as we suffer, even as we die, even as we are exploited and taken advantage of. Because what we are doing, loving our enemies, doing good, lending, hoping to receive nothing in return, is at the very foundation of the universe itself. Nothing can stand against that. This is the ultimate end. And we have an opportunity to put it into practice here and now by the teachings of our Lord, by the grace and power of the resurrection, by our being one body, united in love by one Spirit. It's a heavy cross. May God give us the strength to lift it and to carry on with it and to rejoice with it as we reach out to all those in love, to the glory of God the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.